This podcast contains explicit content. Listener discretion is advised.
How many times have you been smoking and wished that you had something that could neutralize lingering cannabis odors from the spaces that matter to you, from your home to your business? Today I want to talk to you guys about Centaire. Centaire's new cannabis neutralizer eliminates cannabis odors at the molecular level. Of course, with all of Centaire's fragrances, of which there are 60 plus different smells to choose from, each fragrance is cruelty-free, safe for families, and certified sustainable. So really you can't go wrong when you're trying to pick one of their multiple amazing different scent options, but as a cannabis user, the cannabis neutralizer leaves your space feeling fresh with notes of white tea, fruit, and subtle amber. Their patented odor neutralizing technology detects odor causing molecules in the air, bonds with them, and makes them undetectable. Anyone who uses cannabis could probably agree that being able to improve the overall smell of your home, not have a lingering smell of residue, a lingering burned odor, would be a refreshing treat compared to what you may be experiencing now. And maybe you don't realize how much the odor of your home can impact your day-to-day life, but I have to say from personal experience and as a longtime cannabis user that using the Centaire device with the cannabis neutralizer has just created a much more calm, welcoming space for me. It provides a very beautiful scent that is consistent, and it's something that I can just leave it plugged in. I can smoke in the morning, I could smoke in the evening, and consistently my apartment has a really good scent to it. So if this is something that you are interested in, check out centaire.com using the promo code CREEPY for an extra 25% off your first order. That's centaire.com, promo code CREEPY. Welcome to the Creepy Cannabis Podcast, where we chat all things creepy, cannabis, true crime, paranormal, and weird. I'm Madeline.
I'm Rachel. I would like you guys to play a game. It's called Guess Which Sickness Rachel Has Again. The winner gets nothing. I have COVID. Well, like, I did test negative as of today. Yesterday? I can't remember. It all blurs together. But I still feel like I have passed away.
Yeah. No, so, it doesn't get any better.
No, what had happened is I went to the aquarium thinking that I could, in fact, live my life. And that was a catastrophic mistake.
Of course.
So, therefore, I have nothing else to report because all I've done is lay here and try not to die.
As we do.
Oh, and then I did the dick thing where I was like, you know what, though? I'm going to take a little hit of weed because I haven't smoked in a couple days, right? I was like, this will be fine. And it was like the type of hit where you, like, I had no business taking it and it, like, burned. Only a person who smokes will understand this. When it burns you behind your fucking ears in your, like, throat back there, you know, like the back of your tongue, and you're like, I'm going to cease to exist. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the universe saying, no, ma'am. No, ma'am. So here we are, stone cold sober, and lesson learned.
Well, I'm not. So today, I'm smoking a strain called Tres Leches, which just makes me want to eat the cake.
Correct.
It's a sativa dominant strain. It's crossed between the strains Cookies and Cream and Culotto.
Interesting.
Has a very delicious flavor, so they say. Did I say it's sativa?
Yes. Sativa dominant. I got you. I got you, fam. Stone cold sober.
Yes. Anyway. It is supposed to give you, like, a lifted, energizing effect. So, you know, help you feel creativity, motivation, artistic focus. I guess it's good for people who want to focus in on
something.
I'm kind
of sad I can't have any because I do love to be artistic.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a specific specific thing I haven't heard before. Artistic focus.
Yeah. And it's ideal for treating appetite loss, nausea, chronic stress, depression, and chronic fatigue.
And is this your first time ever trying this strain? Have you had it before?
No, I have not had it before.
Okay.
And it is got a really creamy caramel and fresh lavender earthy scent. So there's that.
That sounds delightful. I will never know. Carrying on. You know, every once in a while, right? You know me. I gotta slip in an episode about movies or about animals. Like, it just has to happen in my life. So today, in honor of the animals around the world that have just decided to pop off, I think since COVID, the animals, like, really started to be like, actually, the earth is mine. And now that we're all, like, out and about again, they're like, no. So while two of these stories are older stories, one of them is current, but I have two short little guys and then our main story. So our first story takes place in July of 2016. Mm-hmm. This took place at the Beijing Battling Wildlife World, which, for those of you who don't know, it's a drive-through safari park at the base of the Great Wall of China. So I don't know if you've ever done that before, but the one I went to in, like, New Jersey when I was a kid, you just drive through at, like, a very, very slow speed. All your windows stay up. There's certain exhibits where you're allowed to, like, roll your windows down and stuff, just depending on the enclosures. Mm-hmm. The one I went to, the Tigres were in cages. Here, they be roaming. They be roaming. Okay?
Okay.
So, sadly, the following events were partially caught on camera. You can look it up if you want, if you're doing it for the gore. You see her get the swipey swipe, but you don't see any blood. But they are readily available. So in the video, you see a white four-door car, and it kind of comes to a stop and parks. And then a woman gets out of the passenger seat and then walks around to the driver's side window talking to a man inside. I researched this to death, and there's two conflicting reports, and I'll never know which one. Mm-hmm. So one says that there was a fight in the vehicle, like, they were arguing about who was going to drive, and the woman was like, I'm going to drive, I'm getting out, let me tell you about it. And then the other account states that she simply thought, like, they had left the tiger enclosure portion, and that they were safe to exit the vehicle, so she was like, hey, can we go ahead and switch or whatever. In the video, however, the woman is clearly seen opening the driver's side door. Like, this is very clearly in focus. And then you see a bibbidi-bobbidi Siberian tiger pop out to the right of the screen. Like, it emerges. And it just swipes her. Like, it just swipes her and, like, bites her and just drags her away. And that's the last thing you see. You see it, like, swat her. You see it be like, and then bite her. Mm. So, dragging her away. So her husband, who was the driver, immediately does run after her. So props to him. So he goes to run after her. You see him come back to the car, I presume, like, shouting to someone in the car, and then runs back after her. And then the other woman in the back seat was the woman's mom. And then their son was in the back seat as well. So the reports of what happened off camera is that the man went after, and then the mom came after. And it's unclear if the mom distracted the tiger from the daughter and that tiger, like, turned on her and killed her instead, or if another tiger attacked the mom and that distracted the one attacking the daughter. But sadly, the mom lost her life. She was killed by the tigers, although her daughter and son-in-law escaped. I mean, with injury. I couldn't find any reports if the husband was injured, only that obviously the wife was swiped and bitten.
Wow.
Correct. It was just wild to me. Like, I think that sometimes people lose their healthy respect of, like, Mother Nature in general, storms, animals. I've seen, like, 15 videos this week of people standing in the fucking eye of a tornado being like, oh, Sally, the roof is gone. And I'm like, yeah, what? Get in the basement,
sir.
Why
are you doing this?
You are not Dorothy, and you are not going to the promised land. You will die. I screamed that in the microphone, so for those of you in your car, I'm deaf from the COVID. Please
apologies.
Forgive me. Second story we need to discuss is the more modern one, and it's why a subpopulation of killer whales has capsized 3 entire boats since May of 2020. Like, deliberately. So, have you heard of this?
Mm-mm.
I'm so glad. So, for those of you who don't know, in case, capsize means to be overturned in the water, so it means these whales are flipping over and otherwise destroying these boats and sinking them. So, most recently, the orcas living off of Europe's Iberian coast struck and sank a yacht in the Strait of Gibraltar. And a lot of people are like, hey, I'm noticing a trend. So what caused this sudden string of events in, like, May 2020 time? And, of course, scientists aren't sure because we'll get into that another time. But it's speculated that there is actually a ringleader, and that is a female orca who is named White Gladys. My grandma's name was Gladys, and I've never heard that name before, except
not White
for
Gladys.
White Gladys and Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Vince Vaughn's wife is named Gladys. Anyway, so apparently she had a traumatic run-in with a boat, and she retaliated and said, absolutely not. And so what happened is the other whale homies, they saw this. They saw Gladys pop off, and they were like, oh, fam, we're in this together, pack mentality. Or pod? I don't know what whales go in. A pod, I think.
Pod.
So they podded up, okay? And they were like, all right. So anyway, in most of the reported cases, the orcas that are attacking the boats are biting, bending, and breaking the rudders specifically off of the boats.
Wow.
So that's interesting. But the puzzling thing is, like, how do they learn to replicate the behavior from that whale, and why are they replicating it? Because it does look to be linked.
Yeah.
So I researched an article from a Dr. Luke Rendell, and in short, he said that the orcas appeared to be attacking the boats, but any answer he could give is just, like, speculation at this point. Like, obviously, we don't really know. It could be any number of things. But he said it is, like, interesting. It's something the biologists are aware of, and they're like, huh, that's pretty interesting. Like, we should start paying attention to that kind of thing. But the thing is, there's a lack of obvious, like, fitness-enhancing rewards, like food. So it's not likely to have evolved because they needed it to survive in their environment. Like, they don't gain any food, mating resources, or young raising resources from tipping the boats, essentially.
Yeah.
However, there are multiple accounts of single groups of orcas developing what's called idiosyncratic and not obviously adaptive habits, meaning they develop group habits, like, kind of for fun, like they just try shit out. And specifically, for a short-term period of time, there was a fad amongst the pods of carrying dead salmon on their heads like hats. Like, they were like, do I look cute in this salmon?
Mm.
Like, these bitches were swimming about the ocean, okay, like, Barbara, Gladys, do you like my salmon? So I thought that was just interesting, because they're very smart, and, you know, our Tilikum episode did really well, so I thought that maybe the fans would like to hear about the orcas. But basically, in short, they have no real information. They have no real scientific studies. They don't really give a fuck. We have much bigger problems, like spending all of our taxpayer dollars on checking for tin cans that imploded in the ocean that we already knew about but didn't want to tell anybody about, so instead we kept searching. That's all I'm going to say on that matter.
Pretty wild. They paid $250,000 to go to their death.
I feel bad for the young boy who was, for those of you who don't know, I don't know how you wouldn't know, but in case, a couple billionaires decided they were going to go into a submarine that appeared to be made of aluminum foil and fucking trust issues.
Duct tape.
Yep. And it was run by a video game controller.
They bolted it shut.
Yeah. Anyway, what we now know to have happened is they were trying to get to the site of Titanic so they could watch it on their submarine screen instead of, like, the TV screen. And it did, in fact, implode due to a hull, likely hull damage. They made the hull out of multiple different types of metals, and as a result, the metals expand and contract at different rates and likely caused the implosion pretty immediately. Then the government knew, because they had secret technology, alleged whatever, and they didn't want anybody to know until whatever. So then they waited multiple days, and in that time, TikTok was like, what's going on? Are they dead or not? But unfortunately, it sounds like they imploded immediately. But one of the kids that was on there was, like, I think he was 18, and he had said to his aunt that he was really scared and didn't want to go, and he was only going because his dad really wanted him to, and it was Father's Day, but that he was really afraid something bad was going to happen, and that made me really sad.
That is because, really, like, really, really sad.
It's not your fault that you were born to a billionaire. And you, I don't know. That just made me sad a little. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. That's what happened. So, those two stories, like, they're pretty crazy on their own in, like, a mild way. You know, tigers eating people, like, you've heard of it before. Mm-hmm. Whales doing whale shit, you've heard of it before.
Yeah.
And you may have even heard of chimpanzees doing chimpanzee shit. But we're going to talk about a specific chimpanzee named Travis.
Fun fact, not fucking Travis.
Madeline, his birthday is October 21st, 95.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just wanted you to know that. He's a
basically
Libra.
Basically the same.
I know. I was like, it's very close. They're both Libras. So anyway, Travis was born to Susie and Coco, which were two common chimpanzees who were imported into the U.S. from Africa in the 70s. It's confirmed that he was born in Missouri at Mike and Connie Braun's Casey's compound. And if you're looking for this location in 2023, it is currently known as the Missouri Chimpanzee Sanctuary at this time. For some context leading up to the events, and just to give you guys a heads up, if you're trying to decide to stick around, this is about this chimpanzee attacking a woman nearly to death. So that's what we're kind of reviewing. So for some context, one of his parents, Susie, was fatally shot after an escape attempt of her own in 2011. So Travis was purchased for $50,000 when he was only 3 days old. He was sold to Sandra and Jerome Harold, who named him Travis after her favorite country star, Travis Tritt. And I'll be honest, that entire sentence let me know everything I needed to know moving forward.
Yeah.
We're off to a spectacular start.
Mm-hmm.
They decided to raise Travis inside of their home in Stamford, Connecticut, rather than raise him in an enclosure, and elected to raise him as a human child. At first, I thought, like, maybe they didn't have any kids, and I was trying to see their perspective, because, like, you know, I don't have any kids, like, whatever, that's not my vibe, but no, mm-hmm. no, they did, they wanted it, they wanted this life. Mm-hmm. And when I say they raised him as a human, Maddie, I need you to understand, like, a human being. So, they owned a towing company where Travis would pose for photos while wearing clothes and riding in the tow truck. They took him shopping around the town. He would wave to police officers and pedestrians. Like, he was a whole tax-paying citizen at this point.
Yeah.
Minus the taxes, because he obviously was owned by rich white people.
Yeah, no. Aggressive.
Yeah, yeah. Travis Tritt, you know? So, Travis could open doors specifically using keys. So, he could unlock and open doors. He could dress himself, water plants. He would feed hay to his owner's horses, like, as his job. He would eat at the table with the rest of the family, drink wine from a stemmed glass, and he was so fond of ice cream that he learned the schedules of passing ice cream trucks. He could log into the family computer to look at pictures. He watched television using his own remote control and could change the channels himself, and he brushed his own teeth using a water pick. So when I tell you they were raising a wild animal with the capacity to kill a human without thinking,
mm-hmm.
for a second, and they were like, do you want to learn how to hula hoop? He loved watching baseball in particular, and he learned how to drive a car and was seen driving one on several occasions.
Wow.
So I think that hopefully gives you a pretty accurate picture of what's going on here and just how seriously they socialized this animal from the minute they purchased him.
Wow.
Sadly, Jerome, his human parent, died from cancer in 2004, and the Harold's only child died in a car accident in 2000. So they did ultimately lose their child, and as a result, Sandra regarded Travis almost as like a surrogate son, but mm-hmm. also like a partner. Like, this was her only person in her household. Like, this was her partner, her child, like her only communication in her house. Sandra slept in bed with him. She bathed with him. And after his death, she said, like, I'm hollow now. He slept with me every night. Until you've eaten with a chimp and bathed with a chimp, you don't know a chimp. I found that weird, I'm going to be honest, but okay.
That's fucking weird. It's really giving weird vibes.
Okay, it was giving me questionable energy.
It's giving,
for sure.
Did she have sex with the monkey?
But okay, I'm so glad you said this. Yeah. I also question her intimate relationship with that animal.
It's giving not correct.
Correct. So, prior to the incident that led to Travis's passing, there was a precursor incident that happened in 2003, a year before Jerome had passed away. In 2003, in October, he had escaped from the Herald's car and held up traffic at a busy intersection. He was actually on the loose for several hours, and the incident kind of began after this pedestrian threw an empty soda bottle at the car that went through a partially open window and actually hit Travis while they were stopped at a light. He got startled, unbuckled a seatbelt, opened the door, and went after that man. He chased after him, but he couldn't catch him. And then police arrived, and they lured him back into the car multiple times, but as you know, he would just let himself out of another door and then would chase the officers around the car. So they're just, like, in a fucking frenzy for hours playing tag with this grown animal man-child. That incident did actually lead to the passing of a Connecticut law prohibiting people from keeping primates weighing more than 50 pounds as pets, mm-hmm. and requiring owners of exotic pets to apply for permits. This new law did take effect in 2009, which ultimately was after the near-fatal incident. As of Travis's death in the same year, no one in the state had applied to adopt a chimpanzee, but the law's in effect. They didn't enforce the law on the Heralds because they had owned Travis for so long and they did not believe he posed a public safety risk. So now we're going to talk about the actual incident, which I'm going to be honest. I put February 16th, 2099. So I have no fucking idea, but I think I meant 2009. Because that's when he died. Okay.
God, 2099.
I'm doing my fucking best, man.
We're surviving.
I tell ya. So at around 3:40 p.m. on February 16th, 2009, unfortunately, I anticipated it, but apparently no one else in the state of Connecticut did. Travis was just in a bit of a mood, and he was irritable, just not acting himself, and he ended up leaving the house with Sandra's car keys, and Sandra was having trouble getting him to come back inside or give her the keys. So she was like, okay, I'm going to call my friend Charla. She's 55. It wasn't out of the ordinary at all for her to help Sandra with Travis because she actually worked at the towing company at one point, and she was very comfortable with Travis. He had seen her many times. She was a good friend. We'll never be able to know for sure, of course. However, we have some educated guesses as to what could have caused Travis to react so drastically against Charla. First and foremost, it's the pressure they put on this animal to be a human being, specifically emotionally. This animal was being used, as we said, as an emotional and physical support animal in who knows how many ways. But mm-hmm. even if you just looked at it as the point of raising him as a child, like, it's not what they're naturally meant to do. Mm-hmm. So you're fucking with their whole shit.
Mm-hmm.
This chimpanzee, you know, he wasn't intended to be a surrogate husband for someone and their kid. He just didn't have the ability to fully and effectively communicate human emotions and reactions because he's not a human. Secondly, Charla had gotten a new haircut that Travis hadn't seen yet. So the first time he's seeing it is in this erratic state already. So it's believed Charla had brought a Tickle Me Elmo to comfort Travis, but it was one of his favorite toys. And so what they think is that when he didn't recognize the person holding his favorite toy, he had like a temper tantrum and was like, give me my shit back.
Mm-hmm.
It's also worth mentioning that he was on medication for Lyme disease. And he was having like a lot of flare-ups with his Lyme disease and stressors. So he just had like a lot going on in his body as well. So ultimately, Travis flew toward Charla and began attacking her by biting and clawing at her face and her limbs.
No.
It is known that primates will first attack the face, limbs, and genitals. Like, that's just what they do. They want to stop your ability to procreate, your ability to reproduce, your ability to dominate them. Like, they're going for all of the things you need to function.
I'm extremely upset.
Correct. So he's doing what a chimpanzee does when they're threatened. You know, he's not doing anything he shouldn't be doing. to Sandra's credit, given the relationship I know she had with Travis, when Travis attacked her friend, in spite of loving him, she attacked him. She went after him. She began to beat him over the head with a shovel, and when that didn't work, she began to stab him in the neck with a butcher knife. She went inside, got a butcher knife, and started stabbing him. So she said, for me, doing something like that, putting a knife in him, was like putting one in myself. And she said that when she stabbed him the last time, he turned around and gave her a look as if to say, Mom, what did you do? And at that point, there's a 911 call you can listen to if you want to be traumatized. I listened to it, and I just, you've been warned, I'm wouldn't good. Do it. But in that, you can hear the woman's like screaming for her life, but mainly you can hear this lady screaming for her friend. But she does say, like, the way he looked at her, it was like, if I hit him again, he's going to kill me. Like, he's going to turn his rage. So at that point, she thought Charlotte was dead. Like, I mean, she's not screaming anymore. She's limp. She's there's blood coming from everywhere. I decided not to include the recording in here because I don't think that's needed.
No.
Maddie will never forget
I'll pass away. I'll literally pass out. Do you remember that one episode?
Yeah, about my fucking abortion? When you nearly were aborted from Earth? I almost aborted two kids that day.
No, I literally passed out twice.
Oh my God. Just so thinking you guys know, about it. Like, pro-choice up in here. Yeah. But I'm not a callous person. I just deal with my depression with dark humor, so please forgive. I did almost kill Maddie twice with that episode, and that should just be a precursor that the real horror story is American healthcare.
Yes, it is.
I wish American Horror Story would just do, like, that healthcare. Season. Yeah. Like, American healthcare. Because everyone else is fucking fine. You could get better healthcare in the fucking, at the site of the Titanic. Anyway. So, basically, in the recording, too, you can also hear, like, him screaming. Like, chimpanzee screams. Like, it just sounds like a whole ass fucking jungle up in there. Hold on one second. I lost my place. So, anyway, Sandra calls. She's pleading for the police. And they thought it was a hoax. Obviously, because this lady's like, oh, like this monkey's eating this lady in the middle, whatever. But she literally starts screaming, he's eating her. He's eating her to death. Like, he's eating her. And then they're like, oh, shit. Like, we should do something.
Okay, I'm so not okay thinking about that.
Yeah. Blech. Well, emergency medical services get there, but they can't. They're not going up there without the police. They're like, that's a whole ass 200-pound. Like, they are stronger than a grown man, and he's got razor sharp teeth. Like, he's covered in this lady's blood. Like, she's laying there.
Mm-mm.
So the police get there, and when they arrive, Travis headed towards the police car and tried to open a locked passenger door, and then got mad and smashed the side view mirror. He then goes around to the driver's side door and opens it, at which point Officer Frank Chiafari shot him 4 times with a service pistol, like, point blank. He was like, yeah, bet.
Mm-hmm.
And then Travis retreats into the house, where he ultimately passed away next to his cage. So he walked into his bed and passed away. The emergency crew described Charlotte Nash's injuries as nothing short of horrendous.
Oh my God.
Within the following 72 hours, she underwent more than 7 hours of surgery on her face and hands by 4 different teams of surgeons because they needed frequent breaks. The hospital had to provide counseling to its staff members who treated her because of the extraordinary nature of her wounds.
No.
Like, they were literally getting sick trying to treat her. Paramedics noted that she lost her hands, her nose, her eyes, her lips, and mid-face bone structure had received significant brain tissue injuries.
Holy fucking shit, what was left?
Yes. Doctors were... She's alive, by the way.
What do you mean? Doctors what does she removed, look like?
It's rough. I am not... For her respect, I'm not posting her picture on her Instagram. I'll post a picture of him. Like, she has been through enough. So doctors removed chimpanzee hair and teeth that was implanted into various bones. And reattached her jaw, but announced on April 7, 2009, that she would be blind for life. Her injuries made her a possible candidate for an experimental face transplant surgery, and after initial treatment at Stanford's hospital, Charlotte was transferred to the Cleveland Clinic. Her family started a trust fund to raise money to pay for her unfathomable medical bills and support her daughter, because she couldn't support her daughter anymore. Charlotte Nash revealed her damaged face in public for the first time on the Oprah Winfrey Show on November 11, 2009. Mm. She was not at that time in physical pain from the attack. and family hoped that she could leave the clinic soon. So she was still under care, but she was not in physical pain anymore. For those of you who don't know this, I think I've mentioned it before from working in vet med, but the standard procedure for rabies testing is to cut off the head because you need to test the brainstem. And obviously this woman's alive. We need to know if this animal gave her rabies. So his head was taken to the state laboratory for rabies testing, and the body was taken to the University of Connecticut for a necropsy, which is the animal version of an autopsy. The head tested negative for rabies, but there was Xanax in his system. So in addition to being on medication for Lyme disease, being treated as a husband and son simultaneously, this animal was also on Xanax, which I have personally had before during my abortion, and it fucks up your mental state if that's not, I mean, I've only taken it twice, I think, in my life, and both times I was like, what is the universe? Literally. So there's that as well. Necropsy results in May of 2009 confirmed that he was overweight and had been stabbed, and then his remains were cremated at the All Pets Crematory in Stamford on February 25th, 2009. It does look like Sandra did admit that she had given him Xanax-laced tea the day of the attack, and she admitted it, so it came up in toxicology, but she had already, you know, let them know, so, it, you know, they weren't, like, excessively penalizing her beyond that. Unfortunately, it can cause disinhibition, disorientation, and occasionally paradoxical reactions of hallucination, aggression, rage, and mania in humans. So likely because of the similar makeup, the same thing in chimpanzees. You guys are doing great. We're literally almost done.
That's crazy.
I know. But you know what? Like, not in a good way, but like, this is one of my favorite animal stories because it just really just, it nails the hammer in the coffin of why you shouldn't fuck around with these things.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Shortly after the attack, a woman who lived in the same area as the Heralds came forward with information that in 1996, the chimpanzee had bitten her hand and tried to pull her into a vehicle as she greeted him. She claimed to have complained to the Heralds and to the police, who stated they had no record of any such complaint. And then afterwards, PETA members allegedly harassed Miss Herald, although the organization stated that they didn't have any official involvement. 15 months after the attack, Sandra Harrell died suddenly of a ruptured aortic aneurysm at the age of 72. Her attorney released the following statement saying Miss Harrell had suffered a series of heartbreaking losses over the last several years, beginning with the death of her first and only daughter, who was killed in a car accident, then her husband, then her beloved chimp Travis, as well as the tragic maiming of friend and employee Sharla Nash. In the end, her heart, which had been broken so many times before, could take no more. So on May 28, 2011, Sharla Nash underwent transplant surgery, receiving a donated face and hands. The transplant of the hands was initially successful, but because she developed pneumonia shortly thereafter, doctors were forced to remove her newly transplanted hands 5 days after the transplant.
No.
She did have infection and resulting poor circulation. And then in a lawsuit against Sandra Harrell, Sharla Nash ultimately ended up with $4 million and legislation buckled down on setting up laws pertaining to this incident. I would not trade my face and hands for $4 million. No. I just want to be very clear.
No.
So, like, it's like, okay, I understand, but you're putting the value of my literal rest of my life in money.
No way.
And frankly,
I would simply not be okay.
That probably doesn't even cover her medical bills.
No, not even.
Like, sis needed whole ass limbs and faces.
Mm-mm.
That ain't so cheap. Please, guys, just get a fucking dog or a cat like a normal person.
I know.
Don't even be like me. Don't get snakes. Don't do it.
Just
you don't need any of this shit.
Relatively normal.
Yeah, I have 4 chickens. You know what they do all day? They just shit. That's literally it. They just shit.
Yeah.
No eggs. No eggs. They're holding out on those bitches.
No eggs.
Plenty of chicken turds, but I guess we'll starve. I did the other day, guys. I made homemade pasta sauce with my own Roma tomatoes from my garden. Like everything.
Yum.
Except for the tomato paste. And I added a few fire roasted tomatoes from a can. Everything else was like an ingredient I grew or an herb that I already had.
Wow. Yum, 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 yum.
And then we did it with like some, I made homemade bread. It was delicious.
That sounds delicious.
I'm proud of you. It really was. Thank you. I did it while I had COVID, too. I was like, wow. I'm an independent boss, bitch.
Yes, correct.
AKA I'm not working and heretofore should have enough time to make a little bit of bread. That's all I have to say. Bye.
It's been a wonderful time. Oh, okay, bye.